W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are filing articles of impeachment against Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Many of the articles contain accusations that have been proven untrue. Others are based on decisions made by the agency's six commissioners and not Wolf herself. The next step would be for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to assign the resolution to a committee. Last week, Republicans in the state Senate voted to fire Wolf. That move is being challenged in court. Meanwhile, a liberal watchdog group is filing a legal complaint against a panel of former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices advising Assembly Speaker Robin Voss about impeaching Janet Protasiewicz. Here's Nate Wegehout.
American Oversight filed the complaint with the Dane County District Attorney this week. It says the panel of former justices is violating Wisconsin's open meetings law. Governmental bodies are required to post advance notice of meetings and hold them in public. American Oversight wants the DA to void any actions already taken by the panel and prevent any more meetings. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin school superintendent says she wants to close the gap between rich and poor school districts. Lawmakers and the governor increased public school spending by $1 billion this year, but Jill Underly says schools need more to address things like teacher shortages and unequal facilities.
The kids know which schools are better off, right? They know which kids have air conditioning, which kids have the teachers who can teach the higher level subjects. And we see it reflected in our test scores.
Underly gave her annual State of Education speech at the state capitol yesterday. She criticized efforts to limit diversity efforts in teaching about racism. She praised the state's new literacy initiative. Type 2 diabetes is a growing problem, especially among Black Americans. As Danielle Smith reports, influencers are urging diet and lifestyle changes.
Chef Jannard A. Wells on Clio TV says Black Americans are disproportionately affected by diabetes, but education and some lifestyle changes can help reduce the risk of diabetes and lead to improved overall physical and mental well-being.
We should have more cardiovascular activity. Walk, move, get out. Those are things that are important to maintaining a great and healthy lifestyle.
Well, suggests exploring alternative food options. I'm Danielle Smith.
A buck at a deer farm in Rock County has tested positive for chronic wasting disease. The farm is under quarantine while state and federal veterinarians and staff investigate. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. One man is injured after a two-semi crash on a Shawano County highway. The highway was closed for several hours. The Shawano County Sheriff's Office says the crash happened sometime before 8 a.m. on Highway 47 north of County Road S. Authorities say one of the trucks crossed the center line and the other one swerved, trying to avoid it, causing the crash. One of the drivers was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other was not hurt. Highway 47 did not reopen until about 3 p.m. An imitation Super Bowl trophy that was stolen has been returned. WLUK reports that the incident happened during a recording of In the Huddle Monday night at the bar on Holmgren Way. Green Bay police say they found the man who took the replica from surveillance photos taken while he was leaving the bar with the trophy. It has been confirmed the trophy is back where it belongs. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Badgers football on a Friday night. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers have their first Big Ten conference game under head coach Luke Fickell when they face the Purdue Boilermakers in West Lafayette, Indianapolis. Badgers quarterback Tanner Mordecai on playing tonight under the lights.
Friday night lights are the best. It'll be fun. Purdue's done a great job defensively, so this is what, you know, we've been working for, is to be successful in the Big Ten. You know, Purdue, a team that won the West last year, so we have a lot of respect for them and what they've done.
Head coach Luke Fickell on what he expects from the Boilermakers defense.
I think what we're seeing is, so far in the first three games, people have tried to spread us out more, have challenged us, you know, I think linebacker wise, to have to play in space. And that's where, regardless of who it is, that's where I think people, you know, have attacked, whether that's man coverage sometimes, but it's also some of the things that they're trying to make us do.
The Badgers are 2-1. Purdue with a record of 1-2. Kickoff tonight is at 6 p.m. NFL, the 49ers had no problem last night on Thursday Night Football. They ran the ball against the Giants defense, and with a few key passes by quarterback Brock Purdy in the second half, the 49ers went on to win 30-12 over New York. The 49ers now 3-0. The Giants fall to 1-2. The Packers home opener is Sunday at Lambeau Field. They host the New Orleans Saints. Head coach Matt LaFleur on what makes the Saints defense one of the best in the business.
Physical, aggressive, very sound. They're going to challenge you on all three levels. Demario Davis is a game wrecker. Cam Jordan. They got guys at every level, and they've got complementary pieces around them. Obviously, Lattimore, the Honey Badger. I mean, they got a ton of players on that defense, and they challenge you.
Sunday's game kicks off at noon. Baseball, the Brewers' magic number, now down to 2. They're in Miami tonight to open a weekend series against the Marlins. The Crew shut out the Cardinals yesterday, 6-0, to take the series in St. Louis, 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Good morning, the Earl Ingram Show. Earl Ingram Show minus Earl Ingram. This is Sandy Williams Friday. As Earl would always say, Sandy with Friday with Sandy Williams. This time it's only Sandy Williams. Earl is gone today. Actually, he's having an interesting morning, I think. He's spending the morning with the FBI. I think the FBI is involved with the process of letting people who are public figures know what it is they do and how they do it. So he's off today spending some time with them, and I'll be spending my time with you. Calvin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Sandy. We made it to Friday. How are you?
Well, we did. I hopscotch. I make it to Monday, and then next thing I know, it's Friday. So how do people call into this show?
They can call in at 844-967-2789.
All right. Well, you know, we start out the show, Earl and I usually do. We talk about sports. We talk about the weather. You know, we look out the window and we talk about the weather. We talk about stuff. We don't jump right into substance. And it seems like, Calvin, like that's what we do as a country, too. So, you know, now we've got headlines. What are the headlines about? Well, the headlines are about political theater, government shutdown. Okay, we might shut down the government, but we aren't really talking about what the government needs to do for the people. We're talking about the political theater of government shutdown. In fact, the government shutdowns, I understand that actually cost the people quite a bit of money. The disruption, the shutdown cost is itself a cost. Or we talk about sports. We talk about celebrity, Rupert Murdoch. How about that, Calvin? You know about Rupert Murdoch?
I did hear about Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, it's this Australian guy, and he's been in the news forever. He owns Fox News. He owns the Wall Street Journal. He owns all kinds of stuff, and apparently the guy's about 90, and he's decided to retire. He's one of the old people who rules the world. You know, we've got them here in the United States as well in terms of our politics. Or we talk about Elon Musk, the personality, and at the end of the show here, I think I want to talk about the notion of celebrity and leadership. But I think here in the beginning, what I'm interested in talking about is the way we tend to kick the can down the road about things that are important to Tom, Dick, and Mary, and we end up getting diverted. We get diverted by political theater, for instance. Shutdown. Donald Trump. Donald Trump strikes me as the persona that is manifestly all about political theater. Form over substance. No substance, all form. You know, in fact, Donald Trump, I think he ran for election with all kinds of promises in 2016. I think the only promise that he could be accused of actually keeping was his promise associated with appointments to the Supreme Court. But the other promises were all arm waves and saying things that felt good, sounded good to the listeners, but didn't actually happen. The Mexicans will pay for the wall. He'll reduce taxes for the middle class. He'll solve all kinds of problems that were, not only did they not get solved, they didn't even get talked about at the policy level. We've got the debt ceiling. We had that theater for quite a while. We've got impeachments. We've got impeachment of the president. We've got investigations of Hunter Biden. We've got talk about Jared Kushner and corruption generally. So all of that is diversions. It's diversions from talking about things that might be important to Tom, Dick, and Mary, because I'm not certain how any of those things are important. Yes, the level of expenditures for the government is important, but it's only important if we talk about which expenditures and how we're going to spend our money. So let me ask you, Calvin. How old are you?
I am 25.
25. So you've got a year more left on being dependent on your parents through their health care insurance, right? So right now you aren't worried about health care, but you will be in a while, right?
Coming up sooner than I would like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a student loan that you have to pay back?
Yes, I do have student loans.
Yeah. So if you were asking Congress to set up a priority of issues to be talking about, what would you have them talk about other than government shutdown or impeachment of the president or the Hunter Biden investigation?
Well, I would like to look at things that are going to impact the trajectory of our society. So I think education and healthcare are two things that I think should take a higher priority.
Mm-hmm. And with respect to that, you'd like to see them do what with healthcare? Work on the costs of healthcare to the individuals, the cost of healthcare to the society generally?
I think it's a bit of both. I think access is a big problem. There's a lot of people who don't go to the doctor because either they don't know how or they can't afford it or there's not one in their area. So I think there's lots of levels to approach it at. I think individual cost might be a good start.
Yeah. But have you seen anything in the newspaper or read anything or heard anything about people in Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives talking about healthcare recently and how they're going to fix it?
The only healthcare policy I've heard talked about recently was the insulin cap on Medicare recipients, and that seems, although important, not really tackling the issue I was talking about. So yeah, no.
That's a Band-Aid, right? Yeah. That's a Band-Aid to fix that particular problem, but not the general problems. And with respect to education, I think one of the problems people perceive in education is the level of preschool education that young people are getting before they get to elementary school, and therefore the lack of equality of preparedness of students as they enter elementary school, and that being a problem which then follows those children who are less prepared all the way through their life. I think there have been all kinds of studies done that demonstrate that young children, if they get to elementary school and are behind the eight ball with respect to preparedness, kind of stay behind the eight ball for maybe the rest of their life. Yeah,
we often talk about high school kids getting them ready for college, but the high school kids that aren't ready for college, many of them were middle school and elementary students who weren't ready for high school, and many of them were early childhood kids who weren't ready for elementary school. So we really need to go back to the root of the problem.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got a variety of policies that you'd think we would start talking about, but what we talk about are broad issues, and many of them aren't really issues at all that relate to Tom, Dick, and Mary. So, you know, the arm waving that goes on, the political theater, all of it sort of it resonates in a way that seems to be satisfying to the audience, but it seems to be more like magic tricks than it does substantive discussion of real policies. So we talk about, today we're talking about in the news, we're talking about a government shutdown And the reason for the government shutdown that's presented is we're spending too much money, right? That our deficits are too large. Our national debt is beginning to threaten us because it's becoming a larger percentage of our GDP. And so we're going to shut down the government, apparently, and that's an answer. And so, you know, I would ask us to think about a family. Let's figure that the U.S. is one big family, and we're gathered around the table, and the head of our family is shouting at us, saying, you know, we got to stop spending so much money. We're sinking into debt. We can't afford this. We've got to stop spending money. And the temper flares, fist hits the table, and now the time comes for, and Johnny looks up and says, yeah, but what should we stop spending money on? And then they look around the table, and Mary says, can we stop spending it on food? Well, maybe not. Maybe we've already tightened it up on food. And then Johnny says, well, how about the house? Can we stop spending money on the house? Well, no, the house bill, the mortgage bill is all set. We can't stop spending money on the house. Well, how about, and then everyone kind of looks to each other. What is it? How about health insurance? Should we drop health insurance? That's pretty expensive, Mom says. Well, no, we can't really drop health insurance because we just don't know what's going to happen to any one of us. And so the look around the table is basically all about where can we cut expenditures? And are we talking about that in Congress right now? And where do we make of all of our expenditures? Kevin McCarthy tried to get the Republicans to debate just the portion of the budget that relates to defense expenditures. I guess he thought that was kind of a sacred cow. He could talk about that. Everyone would want to beat their breast in their patriotic fervor. And would they talk about it? Nope. That got tabled. Wouldn't be brought off the table, wouldn't be talked about. And so I think what we have is clear evidence that our Congress, the people we elect and send off, are unwilling to talk about, as we would as a family around the table, how we spend our money, which is really what government is all about. We send our money to Washington, and they're then supposed to look at the fund of money and figure out how it can be best spent to improve the Commonwealth, to improve the life of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And how we spend our money, however, seems to not really get discussed very much. And the plight we have about expending more than we earn doesn't talk about revenue. We don't even talk about specific expenditures. We just worry about how much we're spending, and we wave our arms about that. I think do we have a break coming up now?
Yep, we're coming up on 1 minute left, so it would probably be a good time.
All right. Well, so, you know, let's in the next segment, we can talk, but we got a caller, and I think we'll talk to that caller about what policies they think we ought to be talking about rather than the arm waving that's currently going on in D.C. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John,
he's the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome. Oh, yeah. He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, we had him. We didn't. It was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 78. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, lows level off around 61. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 75. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and dry. Sunday, clouds on the increase. By Monday, low 70s. Sunday, upper 60s. By Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The FBI or some such thing. Actually, Earl told me he'd never shot a gun of any sort, and it was kind of trepidatious about even the thought of it. But I think he's spending the morning learning about our Federal Bureau of Investigation. I'll be interested in what kind of feedback he gives us when he gets back from this little sojourn. We've got Tom from L.A. calling in. Tom, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Sandy. First, we the people means government, and we must never forget that. In fact, I think every time we use the word government, we should be reminding we the people that that's who government is us.
Well, in fact, Tom, we really are the family sitting around the table, right?
We are, yeah. Absolutely. The one thing I would say is, and honestly, I would love to be nonpartisan, but you know what? First off, I'm sure, Sandy, you've heard of Jude Wininsky, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's to Santa Claus theory, where basically back in 73, when the Republicans saw that, you know, the Democrats basically were the Santa Claus, they gave Social Security, they gave all these, you know, different programs, the WPA, all of the FDR New Deal programs. And they said, you know what? We're never going to win an election, because they never did win elections back then, unless we become a Santa Claus. So we're going to become the tax cut Santa Claus. And when we're in power, we're going to spend like crazy. And then when the Democrats get in power, we're just going to sit back and yell and scream about the debt and the deficit. So therefore, the Democrats are going to have to shoot their own Santa Claus, because they're not going to have anything to work with, because all the money has already been spent on the tax cuts for the uber rich, for the most part. Even though then they say tax cuts, they say tax cuts for everyone. You know, the person at the bottom is getting maybe a $200-$300 tax cut, where the billionaire is getting, you know, millions of dollars of tax cuts. And, you know, we need to be honest about what party it is that actually has put together legislation, or what party has actually done something for the working Tom, Dick, and Mary. If anybody on your show can call in and tell me a policy, an actual policy that has helped Tom, Dick, and Mary in the past 50, 60 years, probably since Eisenhower, if you can tell me a policy of what it is that the Republicans have put forward or passed that has been good for the working people. And I think there is this thing where we try to do this false equivalency between you know, the Dems and the Republicans, and again, I hate it that we have to talk this way, but it's the truth. The evidence is clear. The evidence is in. Ronald Reagan wanted to basically sink government. People that work in government want to hurt government. They say government doesn't work, and they give no solutions to how to fix government. But yet they want to, or they say we the people don't work is what I would say instead of government. Like I said, every time I say government, I'm going to say we the people.
Well, there's no question that the strategy of the conservatives, of the Republicans, has been to create deficits through tax cuts and then to wave arms about the notion that we have to cut expenditures. It's like dad coming home from work and saying, you know, I acted out at the office again and I got my pay slashed. And so now we're going to have to cut more expenditures. And now Johnny can't go to college. So we can't make that investment in Johnny's future because we've got less money to spend. And so, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of worked because both parties seem to be reluctant to talk about the tax increases, which would be the ultimate antidote to the tax decreases. You know, the Trump Republican tax decrease during his administration, during a period of high revenues, was totally unjustified. You know, it was unjustified from any sort of economic theory. And the notion now that we shouldn't be analyzing who it is in the economy that could afford to pay higher taxes, and whether it's corporations or wealthy individuals or a combination of both of them, we certainly ought to be talking about that in the context of figuring out how we come closer to reducing the deficits. You know, and a responsible program would obviously be to try and get the deficit level to be lower than the annual growth in the GDP, so that over time we would shrink the percentage of our GDP, which is represented by our national debt. But we can't even get policymakers to talk about that. We have the conservatives talking about zero deficits, and they have no discussion of how in the world they would get to that point, when in fact a responsible approach is to simply reduce the deficit. We haven't had surpluses except for the anomaly of the Clinton years since World War II. So, you know, we ought to get real. Thanks, Tom, for the call. We have someone else on hold, Calvin. Who do we have?
We have CJ.
Aha, CJ. Well, what do you have to say, CJ? Well, tell me, and let me just, since we haven't talked about anything other than the lack of discussion of policy, I'm hoping that you're calling in to describe the public policies that you'd like to see discussed that would promote the interest of Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Sandy. Tom, Dick, and Mary. Well, if we're sitting around the dinner table, like you just talked about, we're broke as America. We're broke. Every man, woman, and child approaching $100,000 debt.
Well, I know. So you're describing the problem, and that is true. Now, how we got there is, of course, a shared bipartisan guilt, because the amount of debt that's been built up under both parties was enormous. And actually, over the last 50 years, over the Republican periods of control, it's been greater than under the Democratic periods of control. But what's the answer to how we ought to be responding to this? Does mom need to go out and get a job? Do we need more revenue? Probably. And which of the specific things that we are spending money on would you suggest we ought to reduce our expenditures on?
We got to go to a break, Sandy. Hopefully okay. We can hear from CJ on the other side.
On the other side, CJ, we'll talk to you.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A pivotal day ahead in the United Auto Workers strike. UAW Union President Sean Fain expected to announce more plans to see workers walk off the job across the country if talks with automakers don't improve. Don Villar is a union leader in Chicago.
You guys are leading the movement right now, and it is inspiring.
And it is so motivating, man, when I see a union member being interviewed either in Toledo or Detroit or wherever.
The workers want better pay, more benefits for new hires, and a four-day work week. The automakers say they're financially strapped as they build more electric cars. A government shutdown could be just days away. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy failing to get a spending deal done in Congress with an end-of-the-month deadline. And outside New York City, a deadly bus crash involving Long Island students and staff headed to band camp. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A 2-year-old missing Menominee County girl has been found safe. Michigan State Police near Iron Mountain were called about 8 p.m. Wednesday to a home in Faithhorn from which the girl went missing. Authorities say the girl walked away from her home along with the two family dogs. State police say they conducted a massive search using multiple agencies from Wisconsin and Michigan, canine units, search and rescue, and drones. But it was a local person on an ATV who found the 2-year-old around midnight about 3 miles from her home. She was asleep, using one of the dogs as a pillow, with the other sleeping nearby. Authorities say the girl was checked out and is in good health. Well, since there was no winner Wednesday night, the estimated Powerball jackpot for Saturday night's drawing is $725 million. The odds of winning a Powerball jackpot are about 1 in 292 million. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the Golden Days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The Golden Days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card, because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Good morning, Friday morning. The Earl Ingram Show, Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. Earl's out this morning doing his thing, but he'll be back on Monday to share time with all of us. We were talking about issues that ought to be being talked about and issues that we would hope would get talked about for the benefit of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And I've got CJ Holding on the line from prior to the break. CJ.
Again, Sandy, thanks for taking my call. What could we do? Part of the reason is I think the Republicans are addressing our debt. Like I said, every man, woman, and child approaching $100,000, 1 minute old baby owes almost $100,000 to the federal government. Fact. And the mere issue that the Democrats are using the shutdown as a political issue, just like the Republicans, but they're using it as an opposite end. I haven't seen a budget proposal from Chuck Schumer or the Democrat Congress.
Well, they've got a. There's a budget that's proposed every every biennium by the government, by the president. So, you know, the executive does present a budget. I guess my question is, as a member of the public, what is it that you'd like to see? You know, if we're going to reduce expenditures, we have to figure out where we're going to reduce expenditures. If we're going to balance the budget, we have to figure out how much revenue we need to get in to cover the important expenditures. I mean, do we decide not to send Johnny to college? Do we decide to drop the health care insurance for the family? Do we cut back on food? Is it clothing that we spent too much money on? I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, as a family, we need to talk about. And I'm afraid that my concern is that in the politics in Washington don't get there. All we got now is Dad shouting at the table telling us that we owe too much money. Of course, he's the one who made all the decisions about borrowing the money, and now he's mad about it.
We don't forgive Johnny's debt that he went to school and signed his name to go to school and expect someone else to pay for it.
No, I know, but one of the reasons that Johnny borrowed that money was that school has gotten very, very expensive. And unlike other economies, almost every other economy in the world, we ask Johnny and his family to pay for education, even though that's not the circumstance in most economies.
We don't want young teenagers to work anymore either. We're complaining about that kids can go in and work today. Well, that should have been taught long ago. My first job was when I was 12 years old at a bike shop, making $2 an hour. But, you know, how much does it cost, Sandy, per illegal immigrant to our social services, our schools, our hospitals?
Well,
and we give them free stuff.
I think actually the economists who've done an analysis will say that, yeah, it does cost $12,000 per capita for immigrants when they come in at the first generation. But the second cohort, the second generation of immigrants, is a highly lucrative generation as far as revenue is concerned. And the growth in our economy has been premised, and the growth in our population for the last decades has been premised on immigration. So, you know, it's a complicated issue. CJ, thanks for calling in. I have a fellow named Mike Munson who's been scheduled to come in to call in, and he's on the phone. So I'm going to shift gears and talk to Mike. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. The guy's got some interesting points, though, as you well know. These decisions they're complex, as you said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always go back, and you've heard me talk about the 2006 legislation that was proposed that had the support of John McCain and Kennedy and George Bush about solving the border crisis, and they couldn't get it through.
Right. You know, I mean, we sit
17 years later.
Yeah, kicking the can. That's kicking the can way down the road. So, Mike, let me just go ahead. I want to let the public know a little bit about you. So, Mike, I met you at coffee along with the same place. This seems to be the convention source for meeting people. It's where I met Earl as well. And you and I are peers. You grew up in Milwaukee, right?
I did. Grew up in Milwaukee from 1955 on. I'm a brat, which means I'm a son of an Army officer, and we traveled all over till 55. And, you know, went to school in Milwaukee, went to high school at Mesmer High School, graduated from University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, paid my own way, you know,
yeah,
with a student loan, paid it back. Went on to work for the, is this what you want me to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the reason I've got you on is that, number one, you look like Dick Cheney, but that isn't really why I've got you on. But this guy, this is a radio show, but if we were on TV, you'd think I was interviewing Dick Cheney. But he went from UWM to
Dick
become,
Cheney.
What?
Yeah, Dick Cheney, I've got some great stories about Dick Cheney and I, but leave those for later. And then I went to Washington, D.C., went to work for the Defense Intelligence Agency, and spent 32 years working for the government, culminated with being the deputy at the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the highest civilian position at DIA, and moved on to the National Reconnaissance Office. For those who don't know, they're the ones that launch our spy satellites. And during the way, as a rubric for no good job goes unpunished, I spent time chairing three big studies for the United States. The first one was, what should spy satellites do in the future? The second one was, how should the Department of Defense be structured in the 21st century? And the last one had to do with, was on the President's Commission on Weapons of Mass Destruction. And since then, you know, did some teaching and, you know, served on a sort of a board. And so now I'm just sort of relaxing down here in Florida and cheering on the Brewers, who have only two more win and loss things situation to get into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So from UWM, you've become George Smiley. I think George Smiley, for those who don't read La Carre novels, like The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, he's the he is the spy that came in from the cold. So I thought I'd get George Smiley on the line this morning so we could talk about some of the issues that, that relate to our international policies as well as intelligence and what goes on there. But one of the things that, that you were involved with that I found really interesting was, I think it was during the period of the Clinton administration, Al Gore, right after Perestroika and the breakup of the Soviet Union into its various republics, you sat on a commission that was dealing with Russia, I think, that was designed to build a closer relationship between the United States and Russia, and also to help Russia move from a communist sort of an economy into a market economy. Is that right?
That's right. It was a very interesting time, and I really enjoyed it. What happened was, after the wall came down, and I guess, who was it, Gorbachev? Gorbachev was in charge, and the discussions that evolved between the United States and the Russia at the time was, how do we transform the Russian economy into a more capitalist economy, and the state itself to allow it to progress economically and commercially in the free world? And how do you make it sort of a free world, free democracy, get people to vote and everything? So there were a lot of discussions between Gorbachev
And then it became Yeltsin, I think, during the Clinton years. I think Yeltsin ultimately was in charge during
Yeltsin eventually came in. And the deputy there, Viktor Chernomyrdin, was the president of the Russian Federation. And Al Gore was the vice president of the United States. And the two of them put together a commission to help him. So we had study groups on Defense Department. We had study groups on justice and the rule of law. We had an agricultural group that went over.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a substantial interchange, not only between the intelligence community, but between all of the arms of government, between the United States and the Russian Federation, in this sort of partnership process. And I presume at that point there was a fairly hopeful view that out of this would come some kind of partnership that would endure and would create an international partnership potentially between the United States and Russia. Not only would the Cold War stop, but that the level of cooperation between the two countries and the level of enmity between them would evaporate, and that the partnership would exist, correct?
That is correct. And actually it worked. It looked like we were doing fine. Things were moving in that direction. I headed up a committee that shared satellite, I'm going to use the word, pardon the expression, black space stuff between Russia and the United States for environmental purposes.
Yeah.
And it actually worked pretty good. I mean, we shared stuff with them. They gave us stuff. We don't typically take a lot of pictures of of the United States, and they don't typically take a lot of pictures of Moscow and the seas around Russia. So we had a good relationship, and all the groups, education, they're all major segments of our society, in my view, were represented in these talks.
So what happened was, I mean, we were headed off in that direction, and clearly we've deviated from that today. We aren't anywhere close to that kind of reaching that kind of an expectation. So the condition that you were involved with in the commission ended up being, in retrospect, one of these kind of woulda, coulda, shoulda things, because it didn't happen. And I guess it would be interesting to try to understand why it didn't happen. Some historians look back on it and say, well, the expansion of NATO, contrary to the Baker discussion with Gorbachev that had happened in 1991, played a significant role in causing Russia to get its back up and to not proceed. Does that square with your experience, or were you not privy to understanding what happened?
No, my experience was, you know, at this point in time, Yeltsin was, of course, an alcoholic, and in came Putin. And Putin was a sort of a Yeltsin handpicked person. And I think probably in the beginning he had a fairly open mind to it. And so the next question was, you know, how do we close the loop? And, you know, the first shot out of the Russian Federation was, we want to join NATO.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
they
wanted
to become part of NATO.
Well, and becoming part of NATO, of course, would have put in issue, why do we have NATO? But getting them in NATO would have potentially created a peaceful outcome. We've got to go to a break, but we'll come back. And Mike, you're going to hang around for a while. That's great. So we'll talk to you after the break.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Kripescast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 61, tonight mainly cloudy. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 75. A mix of clouds and sunshine and dry. Sunday, clouds on the increase. By Monday, low 70s. Sunday, upper 60s. By Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Colleague Mike Munson. Mike is called in from Florida. He's a Milwaukeean, but spent his time in Washington working with the Defense Intelligence Agency and working in the dark primarily, I guess you could say. This is a call-in show. Calvin, how do people call in?
They can call in at 844-967-2789.
So, Mike, we were talking before the break about your experience, and in particular your experience with the commission, the joint commission with the Russian Federation that was ongoing in the 90s. This was the mid-90s? Is that the approximate time?
Yeah, and it was fascinating. My counterpart was a GRU general. And we took turns. My group would fly to Moscow and meet with them, and their group would come to the U.S. And the fascinating point about it all was, for those people coming to the U.S., was like a kid in a candy store. I mean, it was just, we are nothing. We were nothing at all like Moscow. I mean, we had all kinds of grocery stores, all kinds of restaurants. There were food in the grocery stores, roads that worked, and they were totally in awe. And I remember him telling me at one point, and of course, part of the issue was the environment. And I remember General Polishuk was his name, telling me, well, you know, you can afford to look at the environment and make changes, but we're essentially still a third world country, and we don't have the money to be able to put aside to improve the environment. And I thought that was an adroit statement by an individual who actually understood a lot more than I thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think here in America, we have trouble projecting and understanding the situation that's faced in other places, or in other places like the Russian Federation. And you were talking about how it was that out of the chute, you had this commission, lots of cooperation in all different fields of endeavor, trying to spread knowledge between the Russian Federation and the United States, and knowledge that would bring Russia forward into a market economy and into the Western economy. And you said that out of the gate, after Putin stepped in as Yeltsin's sort of handpicked successor, one of the first things that Putin wanted was for Russia to become a member of NATO. And apparently that was a no-go.
Well, it was a tough sell. It wasn't that tough a sell for the United States. We could have sort of figured out a way around it. But it was a tough sell for both Western Europe and Eastern Europe, particularly Eastern Europe nations who just obtained their freedom from totalitarian government. And they didn't want any part of it. So we came up with, the nations came up with a sort of a compromise solution. And I am not familiar with the real nuts and bolts of the compromise solution, but it was basically, we'll make Russia an ancillary member of NATO. And you know, given the situation and the politics in Europe, I personally thought it was a pretty good idea. But the devil's in the details, and I think basically what happened is the details were that Putin found unacceptable, and he pulled out of the whole thing.
Well, of course, during that same time period, we extended membership in NATO to a substantial number of the Warsaw Pact nations, as well as to the Baltic nations that had been a part of the Soviet Union themselves. So between 1998 and 2004, we did extend NATO membership to a bunch of things that had been part of the Soviet sphere, but not to Russia itself. And apparently that became
right.
A certain...
Most of those were after those. Some of them were before. And while the Russians didn't like that, they sort of looked the other way in the beginning. But towards the end, in 2001, when the commission was pretty much gone, it was shut down. And the interesting thing about that is some of that discussion and everything, some of those agreements and people that worked on them were around for quite some time. So as you remember, in 9/11, we actually had some very, very good intelligence sources coming out of Russia.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact was that up until the mid part of the first decade of the 2000s, we had a work in process with Russia that had the potential to break down barriers between the countries and to potentially have them operate in parallel with one another peacefully and maybe even in partnership. And then that broke down after 2005. I think some people would look at the Baltic nation entries into NATO in, I think, 2004 as being a time when Putin began to harden his lines and things began to take a left turn. I don't know if that squares with your recollection, but that at least seems to be
It's probably pretty close, Sandy. When the NATO talks broke down about the ancillary thing, and like I said, the devil's always in the details. It may have been that NATO offered Moscow an unacceptable proposal. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think your sense is right.
So, I mean, you know, I think that when we look at the path of the history of the relationships between countries, and now in this particular case between Russia and the United States, there's always sort of a yin and a yang process where both sides are reacting to one another. And it isn't that one country is necessarily belligerent onto itself, but rather it becomes belligerent when it perceives that it is it has an adversary. And that was the status during the Cold War, wasn't it? I mean, that there was this general tension that was the ground rule of the Cold War, which is both sides, the Soviet Union and the United States, had decided that they were mutually adversaries. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I have some vignettes I can tell you about that. They were really pretty funny. I mean, my Russian counterpart, at one point when I was visiting Moscow, threw his arms around me and called me comrade. And immediately after he said it, you know, he said, "Well, I shouldn't have said that," and everything. And you know, we developed a good rapport until the day I met him at the Russian embassy in Washington, and I told him that I was transferring from the Department of Defense Intelligence Agency. You know, he was GRU, I was DIA. We were both defense. We were both defending our countries. We were comrades in arms. But then I had to tell him that I'd been transferred to CIA. You'd have thought I dropped a brick in the building.
Yeah.
That whole relationship started to sour at that moment.
Right, because that there you are, the adversaries with the operating in the dark secretly adversely to one another. You know, I think everyone is totally intrigued with the life you led and the life of living in the dark and living in that process of secrecy. And we're going to be talking about that.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News.